11 and verse number 31, the Bible says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Oh, time out. Be praying for Danielle's brother. That's another thing. Don't you love that when you start reading and it's like, boom, there it is, all right. Danielle's brother fell and broke his arm, and he is a rather big kid from what I've heard, and just was a painful surgery. And she went down today or yesterday for the surgery and is coming back tomorrow. So be praying for her. So I knew I was missing something. Alrighty. All right, back in Hebrews 11. Let's rewind it and we'll start again. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 31. The Bible says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Father, tonight, I use your word, I pray, to challenge us and convict us in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been amazing going through Hebrews chapter number 11, the different characters that God has highlighted as men of God and ladies of God that have stepped out by faith. And you know, you go through and you know, you come across a man like Enoch, and you know what? I would look at Enoch and I would say he definitely deserves to be in the great hall of faith because, man, he was a preacher of righteousness there in his day. I look at Abel and the sacrifice he brought to God, and I would agree with the writer of Hebrews. He definitely deserves to be in the hall of faith. But you know, it's amazing the characters that God put in there that really had a messed up background. You know, so many times when we read our Bible, we're like, man, that guy is a great individual for God. That person has a stellar testimony for God. And yet the characters in Hebrews chapter number 11, many of them had some really messed up things happen to them in their lives, and yet they were willing and able to get over those past to go on and do something for God. Understand tonight that many times God allows our past to be used for His glory and honor in the lives of others. And as we come to Hebrews 11 verse 31, the Bible says, by faith the harlot Rahab. We understand that Rahab was not a godly individual before she met the spies. The Bible says that she was a harlot. There's nothing glamorous about that. There's nothing beautiful about that. The Bible does not, you know, some commentators have tried to say, well, you know, she wasn't that bad of a lady. Listen, the Bible says she was, and she was wicked and a very immoral lady. She was a harlot. But the Bible says that this harlot had faith, and this faith got her into the great hall of faith. You know, the reality is, it doesn't matter what your background may be, God is looking for you to have faith. The Bible says in Luke 11:22, Jesus said this. He said, have faith in God. Hey, what does God want from me? God wants me to have Bible faith. It's amazing as you read through the Gospels as Jesus would preach, many times he pointed to different instances where there was faith in the most unlikely places. I think about the illustration how Jesus said, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you know, the illustration of where's faith. Hey, faith in that little mustard seed, just that small little bit of faith. I believe that God can do something. And if you just have that glimmer of faith, that little small faith, you know, it's not this huge faith of, I believe God, but no, just that little small seedling, the Bible says that you can do great things for God. I think about the illustration in Matthew 8, verse 10. The centurion, Jesus, he came to Jesus and he said, hey, my servant has a demon, man, he's just messed up and has some major problems. Would you come and would you heal my servant? And Jesus starts to make his way down with that centurion. And that centurion says to Jesus, he says, you know what? He said, I'm a man of authority. He said, would you just speak the words? I'm not worthy to even have you under my roof. And Jesus looked at that centurion, that Roman centurion, and Jesus said this. He said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. You know, around Jesus' day, you know what I would expect to find? I'd expect to find the temple halls filled with men of God and ladies of God of faith. I would expect to find the synagogues filled with people that were walking with God and looking to Christ in faith. And yet the Bible says that Jesus looked at a Roman centurion, not a Jew, but a Gentile, and he said, I found great faith in you. I think about the other one there, the woman with the issue of blood there in Matthew 9:22. Man, she went to all the doctors, spent all that money, couldn't find a cure. Man, she was hopeless, despairing. Boy, there's no hope for me. And she said, if I might just touch the hem of his garment, then my disease will be healed. And her faith and touch touching the Savior boy, it caused her to be healed. And what did Jesus say? He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Man, just a little faith in a woman with an unclean disease, and yet God found faith in that little lady. It says in Matthew 18, verse 28, the Bible talks about a Gentile woman. Jesus said to this woman, he said, "O woman, great is thy faith." She was the one that had her boy that was throwing himself into the fire. And she came to Jesus and she said, "Jesus, would you come heal my boy?" And Jesus said, "Hey, I'm not going to because you're a Gentile." And she said, "You know what? Even the Gentile, you know, the dogs eat from the master's table." And Jesus said, "Hey, go your way. Your faith has healed your boy." There was faith in a Gentile woman. She had faith. There was faith in the centurion. There was faith in a little lady that had the disease. I wonder tonight, child of God, where is your faith? You read through the Bible and you find individuals that stepped out by faith in unique situations and unique places. You say, what are you saying tonight, Pastor? I'm saying God expects you to step out by faith and attempt to do something for God. Would you notice here in this passage, would you notice the fault of Rahab? It says in verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab. We see, number one, her fault. What was her fault? Her past. Her past was that of a harlot. Man, it was not a beautiful career choice. It was not a career that you'd want for anybody in your family. And yet that was the career that Rahab had chosen. This was the path that she was going down, a very immoral and very ungodly lifestyle. And yet God saw her sin, and God saw her faith, and God knew that she was an individual that was trusting in Him, an individual that was acting upon the faith that she had received. I think about the reality of, you read Hebrews 11, and there were many people that had messed up past. I think about David, how David was a murderer, and he was an adulterer. And yet David had faith, where the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. A man, just a little boy, teenage boy, was willing to take that smooth stone and believe God and said, God, the God Goliath, you're blaspheming, is a God that I serve, and I believe God's going to take care of you. And God took care of Goliath because of a little teenager boy's faith in God. I think about Peter, how Peter was angry. He's a man that denied the Lord. He's a man that tried to cut off a guy's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane. And yet Jesus was willing to take that angry fisherman, that crazy fisherman, and God was willing to use Peter in a great way. I think about Noah. The Bible says by faith, Noah, what did he do? He built an ark. And yet you read over in Genesis, you know what you find? You find after the flood that Noah built him a vineyard, and Noah got drunk, and Noah was naked. Man, you talk about a shameful situation. Hey, Noah had a messed up past, and yet God used him. I think about Abraham, how he had a lapse in faith and had Ishmael. And boy, how he told Sarah to lie about being his wife. Abraham, the father of Israel, had a lapse in his faith, and yet God still used him. Isaac lied about his wife. Jacob was a deceiver, and he stole his brother's birthright and the blessing. And yet God got a hold of Jacob in his past and used him for his glory and honor. Moses was a murderer and had anger issues. Gideon worshipped false idols and was very immoral. Samson was a mess. He was a major mess. But you look through Hebrews 11, how did these individuals get in the wall of faith, the great hall of faith? Was it because of who they were? No, it was not. The reason they got in the hall of faith, the reason we come to Hebrews 11:31 tonight, and we see about a woman by the name of Rahab who was a harlot, the reason she got in the hall of faith is because of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17, where the Bible says, "In their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." You say, "Preacher, what's the solution? How can I go on for God? You understand my past is messed up. Hey, my sin is ever before the Savior. Man, I did this in my past. This took place. How can I be used of God?" Hey, thank God for that verse, that God has forgiven our sins. As far as the east is from the west, so far is He removing our sins. And they're never to be brought up again. Hey, the east and the west, they never meet up, friend. Jesus said, as far as the north is from the south, man, there's a touching point. But as far as the east is from the west, you can go, let's keep on going east, and you'll never meet the west. Jesus Christ has buried our sins in the depths of the sea. And I'm so thankful tonight that no matter what your past may be, God looks at you and says, have faith in God. I wonder tonight, are you allowing your past, your faults, to hold you back from serving the Savior? I know some people. Boy, I think about a friend of mine right now. God has called him to preach. And yet because he was at a church where he was involved in a church split. He got discouraged and said, I'm not going to do what God's called me to do. Making really good money right now, but he's not doing what God's called him to do. Why? Because every time he takes that step forward to go and pastor a church, all of a sudden that past comes haunting him. And boy, he's afraid to go. Why? Because of his past. You say, well, pastor, I did this. Hey, I've told you, one of my best friends is Chris, and he's a pastor in Massachusetts. Man, he went to jail for 2 years, right? And you know, the reality is you may go to jail for 2 years for burning down a building, but you can be used of God. It doesn't matter what your past may be. It's all about your future and your focus upon the Savior. So we see her past. How did she get in the wall of faith? Her step of faith, by faith, that's what made the difference in her life. So we see, number one, her past, but I think about in her fault, I think about the connection to the people of the city. Man, you realize that this lady knew everything. Man, you think about her profession. Man, she knew all the politicians. She knew all the, you know, the going on of the city. She knew the gossip. Man, she was involved. She knew. She understood what was going on. What did she understand? She understood that what God had done in delivering Israel out of bondage and defeating the Egyptians. She knew what God had done, and she heard the stories about the Israelites as they came out of Egypt and crossed through that Red Sea, and the waters parted, and the Egyptians, the same to do, were drowned. Man, they tried. She heard about all those stories. Man, she heard about how they were making their way through the wilderness and how God was giving them manna from heaven. Hey, Rahab knew all the stories. She grew up hearing those stories. And now the reality is, here she is confronted with these two Israelite spies. Then she comes face to face with that reality. And what does she do? She decides to act upon that. And she, by faith, saw her life change. Why? Because she not only heard the message of God delivering Israel, but she wanted to participate in it, and she wanted to see deliverance for her own soul. So number one, we see her fault, we see her past. Number two, notice her fear, though. The Bible says in verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies and the peace. What was her fear? She realized one day that the Israelites were going to cross over that Jordan River. We read in Joshua 2, as the Israelites crossed over that Jordan River, man, they crossed during the flood time. Man, this was a time when nobody would cross the river, and yet they crossed over on dry ground. Hey, everybody knew about it. Jericho is right in the middle of their path. Man, there's a big city, and those two spies, they go and search out that city. Hey, what had she heard? She realized that the Israelites were going to take her city. And her fear was that of, hey, my eternal soul is hanging in the balance. It motivated her to walk by faith, and motivated her to accept the God of the Israelites. Hey, she was not willing to gamble her eternity on a false hope. Oh, I'm good enough to earn my way to heaven. No, she realized, I'm not worthy of heaven. She saw those two spies. They came into her house looking for protection. And what happened? She conversed with them. The king sent for those spies. She hid those spies. And as the conversation in Joshua 2 unfolds, she says to those spies, she said, hey, we've heard about what God did. And she responded to the light that God had given her. And by faith, she believed in the God of the Israelites. She was willing to follow God. She was willing to trust him because of her fear of dying because of the Israelite God. So we see, number one, her fall. Number two, her fear. But notice her faith. The Bible says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Why? Why did Rahab live? Because she responded to the faith that God had given her. Her belief was, hey, a belief. She believed in Jehovah God. She believed in the message that was being preached. I put this down. She most likely did not know the name of Jehovah God, but she responded to the light that she had received. She did not know that salvation was only through Jesus Christ. All she knew was God had destroyed the mighty army of Egypt by drowning them in the Red Sea. I'll put this down. The other thing, for 40 years, by the way, she may not have been 40, we don't know her age, but for 40 years, she would have heard about what God did there in Egypt. For 40 years, that message was preached. Some, bleeding heart, liberal preachers will just, cry about, well, why did God wipe out the folks at Jericho? Why did God, destroy all the Hittites and Amorites and all the other ites there in the land of Egypt or Israel? Why did God judge them? Well, the Bible says that they had rebelled against God. They were living contrary to God. They heard the message for 40 years. They could have responded. For 40 years, they could have yielded to God. Now understand, there's a long suffering of God, but there comes a day and there comes a point in time where the long suffering of God is over. And friend, if you do not respond to God's long suffering, if you do not respond to that salvation that He offers, then the time will be where you'll be cut off and boy, you'll be lost for all of eternity. For 40 years, they heard the message. For 40 years, as the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, the folks in Jericho, the folks in Israel, knew about what God had done. And they had time to respond. I just wonder tonight in passing, have you responded to the salvation that's in Christ alone? You've heard that message. Maybe you've heard it from a young age. Maybe you heard it in church, but you've heard the message. Have you responded by faith to God? Have you trusted Him to be your Savior? Rahab grew up hearing it. Man, she heard that the God of Israel was knocking on their door. The God of the Israelites had just crossed over the Jordan River. And by faith, she accepted the God of the Israelites. But by faith, she proved that she accepted God by doing what? It says, when she had received the spies in peace, her actions proved her salvation. You understand tonight that Rahab was not saved by works, but her works proved her salvation. Look over in the book of James. James chapter number 2. I want you to see this. Of course, James writing to the Jews scattered abroad. James chapter number 2. And notice in verse number 14. In James chapter number 2, James is dealing with authentic Christianity. He's dealing with, hey, folks that aren't just talking the talk, but they're the real deal, all right? So here's what he says in verse 14. He says, What doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. So James says, listen, your works will not save you, but your works are a stamp on your life that you truly are a follower of God. You know, we have in our church, we have a lot of Christians that talk the talk, but don't walk the walk. We have a lot of Christians that say, well, I am born again, and yet they're involved in sin. They're not, you know, working out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Their works are not following their faith. James said, listen, if you got real faith, genuine faith, you're going to act upon it. It's going to be proven in your day-to-day walk. At verse number 18, he says, verse 17, even so faith that hath not works is dead being alone. Yea, man may say thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. He says, hey, prove it. And by the way, Christian, let me throw that challenge out to you. Prove your salvation. You say you're saved. Well, I wonder, is there that convicting power of the Holy Spirit in your life? When you sin, is God dealing with you as the Father deals with the Son? I think about my kids. You know, there are many different ways I deal with my kids. If Lily's on top of Josiah's, you know, dresser, I will say, Lily, get down, right? And, of course, you never jump on Josiah's dresser, but you never break Josiah's piggy bank, right? But you know, if she's doing something, I'm like, Josiah, stop. You know, that's what I do. First of all, I speak to him. And that's what God, the Holy Spirit, does with me. Man, when I'm getting ready to step out of line, I have a wrong thought, I want to say something I'm not saying, the Holy Spirit deals with me. Don't say that. Why? Because I'm a child of God. But man, there are times when I disobey and there's times when I sin. And what happens, man, there's not just the no, but then there's that guilt. And that guilt is a good thing. It's conviction from the Holy Ghost. Boy, I need to get it right. I sinned against God. And I need to get that relationship restored. Hey, there are times when I've sinned and God's pulled out that spanking spoon. And boy, He's gone to town on me. And there's that chastisement in Him. And then there's that time when God scourges His own. And God deals with them as a father deals with Son. I wonder, can you look at your own life and see, yes, there's the inward conviction. There's the inward dealing where God's dealt with me when I have sinned. Boy, God is chasing me. He's scourged me. I've done wrong. I've walked away like the prodigal. But God has dealt with me in a real way on the inside. So there's the inside proof of salvation. But there is the outside proof by your works. By how you act. By how you behave. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Hey, the saving faith that took away your sin is also the saving faith that will transform your life. God expects me to be a new creature. God expects me to be different. My life was transformed the day I was born again into the family of God. My last name was switched from a child of the devil to a child of the King. Understand, my desires, my appetites change. When somebody is born again, their life is transformed, and it ought to be proved by the way that we live. James says, show me your faith by thy works. Look in verse number 19. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe in trouble. That's what they were saying. Their profession was, hey, we believe in God. James said, that's awesome, but you know what? Satan and his demons believe in God. So just because you profess it, just because you believe it in your head, doesn't mean that you have Bible-lasting salvation. Verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? He gives the example of Abraham. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And then he goes in verse 25, he talks about Rahab. What did Rahab do? Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Hey, James said, listen guys, Rahab, I bet you there was a lot of people there in Jericho that believed the events that unfolded with Israel leaving Egypt and crossing through the Red Sea and the water falling upon the Egyptian army. But who was saved? Who was the one that did not die in Jericho? It was the one that put feet to what she believed, proved it by her actions. I wonder tonight, are you proving your faith by your actions? Show me your faith by thy works. So we see there was her belief in the Israelite spies, but now we see her act of faith in salvation. James makes it clear that Bible faith will transform a life, and one's walk will be transformed. Abraham proved his faith by works. I wonder tonight, what is it in your life that you're refusing to surrender to the Savior? What is it in your life that's holding you back from going on for God? So we see number one, her fault. Number two, her fear. Number three, her faith. Number four, notice her focus. And look back on Joshua chapter number two. We go back to the story of Joshua chapter number two of Rahab as the Israelites are getting ready to knock at the door. In Joshua chapter number two and in verse number 11, it says, as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive. Notice her bargaining here in verse 13. You will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. What was her focus? All right, after she had received the spies in peace, after she told the king, hey, go right outside of the city, see if you can find them in the mountain, she begins to converse with these spies. She said, hey, guys, here's what I desire. I desire for you to save my dad, my mom, my brethren, my sisters, all that they have. What was she focused on? She was focused on the mercies of the Lord. The Bible says, this of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed, because his compassion has failed not. Great is thy faithfulness. She was focused on the mercies of the Lord. Hey, what did Rahab deserve? Rahab deserved to die with all the other folks there in Jericho. She deserved to have those walls come caving down upon them, just like you and I deserve to die and go to the lake of fire. That's what we deserve. That's what we've earned. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. She was focused on the mercies of God. I don't deserve this, but would you spare my life? And not only would you spare my life, but I love it. She said, would you spare my family members? She was focused on others. She did not want her family to die in the battle. She did not want her brothers and sisters to die in the battle. I know about the story of Lot. You remember when the two angels came to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah? And they told Lot, they said, listen, Mr. Lot, tomorrow the fire and brimstone is going to fall from heaven. And remember what Lot did? Lot went running through the city, and he's knocking on his brother, or on his kids and son-in-law's house. And boy, he's saying, hey, guys, flee from the wrath to come. The judgment of God is going to fall. The fire is getting ready to fall from heaven. You've got to get out of here or you're going to die, right? And what did they say to Lot? They thought he was a drunken man. They made fun of him. They mocked his message. They mocked Lot there on that day. Hey, when Rahab asked these guys, hey, would you save my life? Would you save my family? You know, can't you see it walking around the walls? Can't you see everybody bundled up in Rahab's house? Man, we're not stepping out that door. For 7 days, they're bottled up there. Why? Because they know that it's going to come to pass. The walls are going to come tumbling down. And the only way they were going to be saved is if they were in the household of Rahab. Hey, by faith, she believed God, but by faith, she had faith for her family. And that faith made an impact and saved her mom, dad, brothers, and sisters. I wonder, as a believer, are you focused upon others? You know, you say, well, preacher, I've been saved by the grace of God. I wonder, are you an individual that's trying to reach your family with the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, some of the greatest soul winners are those that have been transformed by the gospel and they reach their own family. Why? Because your own family knows exactly who you are. Before you were saved, you were drunk. Before you were saved, you were very immoral. Before you were saved, you had a temper. Before you were saved, fill in the blank, this is what I did. But man, when I met Christ, my life was transformed and changed, and you see the transformation. Hey, one of the greatest testimonies we can have is with our family members. I wonder tonight, are you reaching your family with the gospel of Christ? She was burdened because she knew the truth of God's word. She was focused on grabbing her family and saving them from the wrath to come. And so we see number one, her faith, or her fault. Number two, her fear. Number three, her faith. Number four, her focus. She was focused on her family. But notice lastly, her future. As the Bible says there in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 31 again, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies in peace. What was her future? Number one, she got on the wall of faith, the great hall of faith. This week it was the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame and induction ceremonies, and Mike Piazza and Ken Griffey Jr. got in the Hall of Fame. I don't know if you're a baseball fan, but I loved Ken Griffey Jr. growing up because he wore his hat backwards. He was the Say Hey Kid. No, that wasn't Say Hey Kid. He was the rebel though. I remember watching him and some of the plays he made. Just a great athlete, Mike Piazza. Right after September 11th, I'll never forget that home run he hit to win the game for the Mets, you know, the first game after 9/11. And boy, two tremendous ball players got in the Hall of Fame because of their talent. You know, your talent won't get you in the great Hall of Faith, but your actions and your obedience to God will earn you a well done, thou good and faithful servant. And though Rahab had a messed up life, because she acted upon what she heard, because she believed God, because she acted upon it and her life was transformed, she got in the great hall of faith. Not only that, but I think over there in Matthew chapter number 1, I believe it's in verse number 5, the Bible talks about the lineage of Jesus Christ. You know who's the great-great-grandmother of David? It was a lady by the name of Rahab. You know what? She was eventually in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Rahab was an individual, though she was a Gentile, though she had a messed up past, God used her to bring the Christ child, the Messiah, into the world. You know, I'm so thankful that God looks past our past. I'm thankful that God allows us to move on. You know, sometimes, though, we got to be willing to move on. Sometimes we got to be able to say, you know what? If God's willing to forgive me, then you know what? I'm willing to move on and not keep dredging up the past. I'm willing to go on for God. No one ever knows what God has in store for them when they submit to God, but the future is unlimited. Hey, Rahab didn't have much of a future. If you would have met Rahab before those spies met Rahab, you'd look at a dirty, disgusting, lowlife, right? And yet, she heard the message. She responded to the message. Just a little bit of faith, like a grain of mustard seed. And God found faith in a wicked city, in a wicked woman, and her life was transformed and used of God in a great and powerful way. Hey, I wonder tonight, child of God, are you responding to the truth of God's word? And are you allowing the truth of God's word to change your life? Really, that's the two statements of Rahab's life, right? She responded to the truth, and the truth changed her life. So I want to ask you tonight, are you responding to the Word of God? As you look into it on a daily basis, are you making changes to be more conformed to Christ? Are you acting upon your faith, being the light that God has called us to be? Rahab was a woman with a messed up past, but she was a woman that had faith in God, and God used her to do great things
for His glory and for His honor. I wonder, do you have the faith of Rahab? Father, thank You for Your word tonight. Lord, help us to act upon the faith that we have. Lord, may we just not say one thing but not follow up with that. Father, help us to be obedient to You. Lord, help us, like Rahab, to make a difference in not only our own lives, but may we be focused on our brothers and sisters and on our parents and nieces and nephews and uncles and aunts and those that are close to us. May we make a difference with those at the workplace. Father, I pray that our faith will be a faith that we want to pass on to the next generation. Lord, we need Your help. We pray for our church. Lord, I thank You so much for what You're doing here. Thank You for the folks that have come out tonight. Lord, tonight a lot of folks are busy. A lot of them are away. Some family emergencies. Others, work has kept them busy. But Father, I pray that You continue to bless our church. Lord, allow us to continue to grow, see people saved. Father, we pray for the kids program starting up here in August. We pray Your power would be upon that. May this be a program that would bring in families and lost boys and girls that need Christ. And Lord, we pray for Friend Day coming up here in October. I pray that we'd have a wonderful, wonderful day. May folks be saved. May our church be encouraged. And Lord, I pray that You just move. Help us to make an impact for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.